Southwest Airlines continues, all of our airlines are continuing to adjust the schedules to take advantage of the vaccine rollout, the, it looks like improving conditions, but they're also working on their early summer, late spring announcements to try to take people to vacation destinations. So Southwest has added some nonstop service for us for guests in Fort Walton Beach, and we're appreciative of that. Spirit Airlines is adding some flights also in May. That this one's taking us nonstop to LaGuardia, gives us some added flexibility there. And then American has added a nonstop, also starting in the May time period, to augment our ability to get nonstop to Austin. So we're pretty excited that all of the airlines are looking for opportunities out there to increase the number of passengers flying out of the airport. We are also very proud that we opened up a new concessions on March 6th. 400 Degrees Hot Chicken is open on Concourse C. It's near gate C-15, and that's, this is part of the recovery from the pandemic where businesses all suspended the construction, and now we're back into the construction mode. So it is a local concept. It's subleased to Air Ventures, and we're looking for more opportunities in the near future to open up a few more concessions opportunities. We just discussed this earlier on the full-scale drill. There is a much more detailed and elaborate planning exercise that Robert and the team are working through, but this will give the commissioners the highlight if you're able to attend in this 1 hour time period. I should also mention that starting that Monday, the 22nd, is our annual FAA inspection, and that's how we maintain our Part 139 certification. So we'll have 2 to 3 FAA inspectors looking at every bit of property we have, every bit of paperwork that we perform on a day-to-day basis to keep this airport safe. And so we hope by the time they depart, we'll have a good report that our procedures are well above the FAA standards. This is a good slide. We've been talking about it for a while, how we've been trying to get back to FY19 numbers, which is up top in the dashed lines. And then we've had three forecasts that we've been watching throughout the year. The blue line is 5.6 million, the bottom line is 3 million, and we have been thinking we were going to end up around 4.1 million, but March, with the vaccine coming out, is starting to show us a little increase here in Nashville. So we're averaging, so far through the month of March, about 14,000 employments, people departing Nashville on a day-to-day basis. So we probably won't get all the way up to the blue line, but if we keep having success nationally with vaccines, we might finish a little bit higher than we were earlier planning. So that's good news for us, and we'll keep commissioners updated as we go forward. We do talk about what's coming up in the next 30 days and what's coming up in the next 60 days. So for the month of April, we do have a full suite of committee meetings again. The big items on here in the Finance Committee will be approving our budgets for both airports and the multi-purpose corporation there. Possibly improving our parking and valet contract and updating some other issues that we have going on along there. And when you get down to the vision line, you see that that's where we're approving the new satellite concourse that we've been talking about for a while. That'll give us an additional 8 gates. So there's a lot of activity at both of our airports happening right now. So April will be very busy. The 60-day outlook shows the same sort of activity there, probably a few more updates that will be added to this, but I did want to point out, you know, not only will we update how we're doing on the quarterly, you know, retirement and treasury reports, we'll be finalizing our disparity study, and then when you see up there up top on GAOPE, we'll be approving the second phase of the hangar construction a month earlier than we previously thought. So we're staying on top of what's happening, and I'll continue to update commissioners both at committee and board. So without any questions, I'll move into the approval items. There are 7 items that we want to run through today that were discussed. Tracy and the construction adjustments we're making at job two.
Commissioner Crumble, right?
Commissioner Crumble, did you have a question?
I just had a question, Doug, on one of the slides you had earlier about the passenger traffic through BNA. I think it was slide 11, this one. So you mentioned that we're starting to see the uptick there, and that's great news for all the obvious reasons. You mentioned that, you know, vaccines and the rollout maybe is helping that. Do we have any tracking going on, or whether it's industry data or things to BNA that, you know, tells us that it's closely correlated to vaccines or more or less just coming into the spring travel period? I'm just curious what the underlying drivers are and how we can measure those.
It is hard. Industry data says that it is the spring travel season, but also that we're seeing a lot more confidence in the vaccines. When we present next month's budget to you, we gave the commissioners our forecast for FY22, and using industry data, ACI, AAAE, and InterVistas, our air service consultant, we have three models that Marge and Kristen are working on to develop the budget. And there's the super great, you know, model and 6 million passengers, and that's if the vaccine is overwhelmingly successful. Middle of the road vaccine is what we're budgeting for, about 5.3 million, and then lower vaccine success, which would be around 4 million. So this jump up, getting close to what we were previously thinking these last 4 months of the fiscal year, will really tell us, hopefully, how we think FY22 is going to go. But I'll update you as we go on where we're getting our reference data from.
Yeah, so it sounds like it's a mixed bag, and compliments to those of you that are working to try and bring models together and, I guess, into more of a composite model to make business decisions. I had that same issue with the Metro government, and I wish there was something in a textbook we could all turn to at this moment. So appreciate you tracking that and keeping us informed as you go.
You bet. And, you know, Marge is on monthly calls with all the CFOs from the other airports. I'm on the same for two different CEO groups for airports. And at least on the CEO calls, we're seeing that on average, regardless of where you're at in the United States, that if you're getting 50% acceptance of people taking the vaccine, that's about what the national average is right now. If people start going north of that, that'll be helpful to us, we think, as well. So I know that we've worked really hard, and the thanks to the governor for moving all the airport personnel into 1B. So we've had a real uptick on employees taking the vaccine. So we think that's going to be positive going forward. But I'll definitely keep you, Commissioner Crumbo, informed, as well as the other commissioners.
Doug?
Yes, sir.
Real quick. The slides you sent out a couple of weeks ago that had the different, you know, schedules, the different colors and stuff, you had shifted the employments from, I can't remember the percentages, but the percentage of business had gone down and the percentage of leisure had gone up.
Correct.
And then also the percentage of throughput had gone up, and Southwest was pushing more passengers through the airport that weren't originating here.
Correct.
Can, you know, as you update, that's really interesting information.
Yes, and it's actually on that chart that Lisa produces, the one that you just saw. And I think as of this morning, we were, in the old days, we would see about 85%+ of people originating out of Nashville, less than 15% transferring. And I want to say the number this morning was 24.3 or 24.7?
24.3.
So we're up about 8 to 9% on them bringing people through Nashville to get to their final destination.
I guess my point is that's really good information for Fratport.
Oh, you bet. Yeah. You bet. Yeah, and it's another reason why we stay on them and others to build out.
Especially if that number increases.
Yeah, if it keeps it, well, if we go back to 18 million plus and we, as we grow passengers, if that number stays, it just says it's more stress on your concessions program. You need more because you're feeding more people coming through the airport.
So if that were to trend and hold, how quickly could we pivot and maybe not build as much parking in the third garage? Would you need as much parking? Would you have a...
Yes, you would still need, based on the volumes we're growing, the parking we're building is for the 20-year horizon of this airport. So it's still, that's a great question, but it's good for us to remember that we're an 18 million passenger airport in 19 before the pandemic, and everything you're doing is to be able to support Nashville at 36 million.
Okay.
So you're building the roads and the parking to do that long-term goal, so it won't be wasted.
Okay, good.
You bet. Okay, Tracy, over to you.
Thank you. So good afternoon. So I'm going to kind of double dip here and take an opportunity to also update the board on the schedule along with my approval item. So you can see we got a few check marks. So last month, the board approved the selection of the Messer design build team as well as CGMP1. We issued the notice to proceed the very next day on March 4th. Survey and geotech are both underway, and one of the really good news is that we got approval of our categorical exclusion or our environmental documentation for the project way ahead of potentially anticipated. I think we had June before. And as Doug mentioned earlier, we have May 2021 to bring back to you CGMP2 or for phase two of the next round of hangars, and that's a month ahead of schedule. And they have already issued the RFP or the bid package to the hangar manufacturer, so we're going to be seeing those numbers. So that's good. So we're moving right along. Okay, so the item for approval today is some site layout options. So this is everything outlined in black is the scope of MNAA for the redevelopment. As we started, after we issued the NTP and the design team jumped on this, we discovered a couple of issues with the proposed layout. One is, and I'm going to stay on this slide for a second, is an area B. So the portion of the taxi lane that's sort of plan or PowerPoint presentation north, that caused issues to being compliant with the advisory circulars without building a very large retaining wall. And then as well as area C, the edge of those buildings as shown actually kind of butt up almost next to the edge of the road, edge of the pavement, both issues. So the team evaluated multiple options for these two scenarios, and with area B, the recommended option, we evaluated four different options, and the recommended option is to remove that taxi lane altogether. There's no schedule impact. It's an approximate savings of $800,000, and it basically continues taxiing operations as they do today. Also, area C, we evaluated three options and recommend utilizing 5 8-bay T hangars to achieve the 40 T hangar minimum that we'd like in this area. No schedule impact, increases the cost approximately $700,000, but preserves existing utilities along the entry road as well as the actual corridor of the entry road and landscaping. So the recommendation for approval today is for area B and C site layouts, options as presented with an overall approximate savings of $100,000. This was presented to the GAOP as an information item last week and determined to bring to the board for approval today. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions? All right, Commissioner Freeman, I believe this was before your committee.
It certainly was, and a great presentation. It's always good when we're ahead of schedule and under budget on any item. The committee approved unanimously that we recommend approval to the board, and I so move.
All right, do I have a second?
Second.
All right, any further discussion?
Commissioner Sullivan.
I have a question.
Yes. Commissioner Sullivan.
So, Tracy, I was just curious. I think the proposal is fine, but I was just curious if you look forward to any of the other development areas to see if this might come up in the future and impact any of those budgets.
They're still looking at those areas. These were two areas that they quickly identified even just as part of the RFP process and submission of their proposal. So it is possible we will come up with more. The design is moving along, and in the next month or two, we should... If there's any out there, we'll know what they are.
Okay, great, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Good question, thank you.
I asked Tracy a question offline about what we had approved. Can you back up one slide just to explain to everybody what you told me, just for refresh everybody's memory?
Sure, so for CGMP1, it was approved last month. Everything within the black boxes, and that is light blue, which is apron expansion, was covered in CGMP1. As well as demo foundation work and one building in area C, two buildings in area of D1, and that area E1, which is three 60 by 60 box hangars. That's what was previously approved.
Okay.
And then what we hope to bring back to you next month would be area D2, which is two more sets of 48-foot, two in area C, and two in the two sets of building six box hangers in area E2.
Thank you, guys.
You're welcome.
Commissioner Crumbo, have a question.
Commissioner Crumbo, you have a question, I believe. Your hand's raised.
I just wanted to compliment the folks who brought this together. We had a fishing committee meeting about it, and it's reached the point in my eyes here where it's taking enough shape to move forward some of the metro-related components here that some of them were expressed before. But one of the big items there is our police department has a remarkable interest in moving from their current location over the Bordeaux area to this airport. It's modern, they soon have a tower, and a lot of things are attracted to. So Chief Drake and I spoke about that earlier in the week, and I'll be bringing to the management team some introductions there to start talking about integrating that as part of our plan coming forward. But we couldn't have done that without the great work of the committee, the management team, everybody that's contributed. So thank you for doing that, and on behalf of Metro, this is an exciting, good step.
Great. Thank you. Any further discussion, questions? All right, now we've got a motion and a second. Let's call to vote.
Chair Harville.
I approve.
Vice Chair Farnsworth. Secretary Freeman.
Approve.
Commissioner Dorsch.
Approve.
Commissioner Joslin.
Approve.
Commissioner Smith.
Approve.
Commissioner Sullivan.
Approve.
Commissioner Granberry.
Approve.
Commissioner Crumbo.
Approve.
Commissioner Stevenson.
Angela, I'm sorry, Angela, I was on mute, so you didn't hear me. I approved. This is Commissioner Farnsworth.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tracy. Next up will be Margaret Martin to talk about the framework for our storage agreement.
Good afternoon. All right, so we are here before you today. We discussed this at the committee last week. Wanted to walk through with the board. This shifted from an informational item last week to an approval item. We have a, as the board is aware, the board had approved a rental rate adjustment for the hangars at Toon Airport for the existing 45 hangars. As part of that rent adjustment, we are taking this as an opportunity to review the storage agreement that goes along with those hangars that has also not been updated in at least 12 years. And so what we're doing is we're combining a notice that will go to the current operators at Toon, letting them know about the upcoming rate increase, as well as the new hangar agreement. So we're planning on sending a notice by May 1 of 2021. Under the current agreement, which is month to month, we actually could delay that, but out of an interest in providing as much notice as possible to the operators, we wanted to get that out by the beginning of May. The notice will contain four key pieces of information. It's going to alert the tenant that we're updating the existing storage agreement, that we're terminating the existing storage agreement effective June 30, that they will be receiving a new storage agreement in the, as a part of this notice that will be effective July 1. It requires that they return that updated, that new storage agreement with supporting documentation so that we know that they would like to remain in the hangar. We're also going to identify that the new agreement will be a year-to-year agreement rather than a month-to-month agreement. And of course, we're going to alert them of the rent increase. There will be required documentation to accompany the storage agreement. This is what's required right now to enter into a storage agreement, so I don't anticipate that this will be a challenge for our operators. We tried to, throughout this process, in revising the storage agreement and looking at the process, be as consistent moving forward as we have been historically, where possible. And so part of the documentation we're going to look for is an insurance certificate. If the aircraft is a business license, if the aircraft is a business asset, a business license, and then of course FAA registration of the aircraft. We're giving operators until the beginning of June to return that agreement to us. This provides the staff about 30 days to work through any issues. Some of the documentation we received turns out to be sort of a puzzle. We're trying to ensure that we've got a thread with whoever's signing the agreement and owning the plane and has the rights to the facility. So this can take a little bit of hand-holding depending upon the structure of the operator, and we want to give the staff plenty of time to be able to provide that support, as well as identify if there's any hangars that are available. So that's the notice plan. And then just to touch on this, is because this will be going out as part of the notice, the storage agreement itself, like I mentioned, we're updating that. There will be sort of key terms we wanted to call out for the board. Like I said, the one-year term is moving, the term is moving from a month-to-month to a one-year term. Either party can terminate at 60 days notice prior to the end of that term. Monthly rent will be increased annually based on the operating expenses and the most recently published CPIU. The timing here is critical because we wanted to provide the tenants or the operators enough time to be aware of the upcoming rent increase and be able to make that decision about whether they wanted to remain in that hangar, which is why here in the agreement we'll be providing that notice of a rate increase by April 1st, giving them enough time to terminate if they choose to choose that path. They, of course, must secure and maintain the appropriate insurance. There is a security deposit currently required. There will be a security deposit required as well. This is 2 months of the lowest rent, so $1,050. And then, as we talked about in the committee meeting, the hangar agreement allows MNAA the ability to permit the operator to sublease or assign the use of their hangar. The agreement is intentionally very high level. It just says subject to written approval by the airport. The details of how that works, how that assignment or subleasing works, are handled through a separate procedure that can be, and the intent of that is to, it can be tweaked as needed. So we had some discussion at the committee last week. You know, right now we've got a pilot in place for this. It allows operator to sublease that hangar for 90 days. We've already heard from our operators that that's not long enough, so we've moved that to 150 days. There are other things that might come up that we want to look at, right? So we want to provide the flexibility to the airport and the board to be able to make those decisions as we go. So those pieces are part of the new hangar agreement, and I'm happy to answer any questions. This was presented to GAOP committee last week.
All right. Thank you. And Mr. Freeman, I believe this is before your committee.
Yes, sir. And this, we had a several hour discussion talking about all of these issues. Great job by the staff in making these recommendations. I believe we're taking care of all the constituencies that we have and all the important issues that we have at John Toon. We're proud of the job that staff has done. And with that, I'd like to move recommend that we approve this and recommend the board for approval.
All right, I take that as a motion, and I echo Commissioner Freeman's comments. A lot of time was spent and a great discussion on this. So I thank the management team and also thank all of our board members.
Tracy?
We need a second.
Why do we have
we need a second for discussion? Is that a second?
Oh, discussion.
Second and then discussion.
Second.
Oh, we got a second. Now discussion.
42, 45, 47, 48. Why do we have a 47?
No idea. No idea. That was before my time.
Yeah, I mean, think about that. Why don't you have any 42s, 45s, and 48s? Why would you mix a 47 in the middle of this?
Bobby, you were chairman when it was done, so you just
I recommend we just vote.
I just wondered why we're not.
It went off the board. As they piecemeal through the years, they just ended up with a 47 from a different manufacturer.
Yeah.
They didn't have a
47. We don't have any 47 out there, do we?
I think there's a couple left of the existing.
Yeah, I think
there is. There won't be.
The new ones, we're not building any 47s, but we have a couple left.
Make sure the minutes reflect it was under chairman's term that this was done.
Any further discussion? All right, so with that, let's call it to a vote.
Chair Harwell?
I approve.
Vice Chair Farnsworth?
I approve.
Secretary Freeman?
Approve.
Commissioner Doors?
Approve.
Commissioner Joslin?
Approve.
Commissioner Smith?
I approve.
Commissioner Sullivan?
Approved.
Commissioner Granberry?
Approved.
Commissioner Crumbo?
Approved.
And Commissioner Stevenson?
Approved.
All right, the motion carries. Next item.
Thank you very much, Margaret. Next up is Linda Macy, and she will be presenting approval for
Good afternoon. We are here today to request that the Board of Commissioners approve the NewsLink of Nashville LLC sublease for the Terminal Concessions Program. The Board of Commissioners previously approved a sublease with Nashville B&A Partners LLC with NewsLink of Nashville as the operating entity at the October 2019 board meeting. Since that time, however, Nashville Partners has dissolved and NewsLink has become both the tenant and the operating entity. Board approval is required due to the term of the sublease, which extends beyond the term of our master concession and lease agreement, which expires on January 31st, 2029. The ACDB participation for the sublease is 30%. It includes one local and three national regional brands operated by a majority national JV. This item was presented to the Finance, Administration, and Properties Committee on March 10th. And I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Thank you. Commissioner Farza, I believe this is before your committee. I think you're on, but you're muted.
Okay, I don't know why it keeps automatically going to mute. It normally does not do that. But our committee did discuss this at length, and I'd like to move for it. We voted unanimously for its approval, so I'd like to bring that forward as a motion.
All right, take that as a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? All right, let's call it to vote.
Chair Harwell?
Approved.
Vice Chair Farnsworth?
Approved.
Secretary Freeman?
Approved.
Commissioner Dorge? Commissioner Joslin?
Approved.
Commissioner Smith?
Approved.
Commissioner Sullivan?
Approved.
Commissioner Granberry?
Approved.
Commissioner Crumbo? Commissioner Stevenson?
Approved.
All right, that motion carries.
Thank you very much, Linda and Commissioners. Next up will be John Corbett. We discussed the real property or hiring of a broker to help us with some real property.
Good afternoon. Doug mentioned this is we're asking for approval for real property acquisition, URA broker services. This is to accommodate the future extension of runway 2 left. We currently do not own all the property required for that extension. We need approximately 19 single family homes, one commercial property at the very bottom. You'll see the properties that we need are all in sort of that light blue color. We need a navigation easement on that southernmost piece. We released an RFQ in October and received two responsive proposals, conducted interviews with both firms, and the committee unanimously selected O.R. Colin and Associates. Scope of the contract will include oversight and management of the acquisition and all the relocation functions, including community outreach, negotiations, appraisals, surveys, and directly related services. The term of the contract is 3 years. Beginning when the EA is complete and approved by the FAA, which we anticipate next spring. And it will also include two one-year renewal options if needed. The total contract cost is not to exceed $571,935. This amount does not include the cost for purchasing the property or for relocation assistance. It's strictly the fee for OR colon. Source of the funding is 2019A bonds. SMWB participation is 8%. Goal on this was 1%. And staff recommends approval of the purchase goods and services contract and contract award to O.R. Colvin Associates. Happy to answer any questions you have on this one.
All right, Commissioner Farza, I believe this was before your committee.
Yes, we discussed this at PAP committee last week and agreed unanimously with the proposal as it has been presented. So I would bring this forward in the form of a motion.
All right, take as a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
All right, any further discussion?
John, on the 2 1-year renewal options, are they inclusive of the 571 or are they
yes,
addition?
Sir. No,
it's in that 571, not to exceed. Okay,
that's right.
Okay, any other discussion? Let's call the vote.
Chair Harwell?
Approved.
Vice Chair Farnsworth?
Approved.
Secretary Freeman?
Approved.
Commissioner Dorge? Commissioner Joslin?
Approved.
Commissioner Smith?
Approved.
Commissioner Sullivan?
Approve.
Commissioner Granberry?
Approve.
Commissioner Crumbo?
Approve.
Commissioner Stevenson?
Approve.
Motion carries. Next item.
Appreciate that very much. We're going to transition back to Tracy and a VNA vision presentation on the terminal lobby and CGMP number 6.
That's right. So as Doug said, this is for the component guaranteed maximum price of 6 of 6, and therefore the guaranteed maximum price for the project. This is Hensel Phelps project for our Hensel Phelps contract for project 3, which is the terminal lobby and IEF. And the majority of CGMP 6 consists of the interior finishes. All the pretty stuff is in this package. The component guaranteed maximum price number 6 amount is just under $55 million. This is a $1.7 million increase to what was presented at the Vision Committee last Thursday. If you recall, when I presented to the Vision Committee, we still had one set of bids that were going to be coming in on Friday, and we thought that this number could go up. So that number ended up going up by $1.7 million. We are still within our construction budget of the $444 million. The Vision Committee slide, I think, showed a total project cost of $480 previously. So just to clarify on the numbers, the overall project budget's $480, the construction budget is the $444, and the GMP is now at $436.5 million. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
On behalf of the Vision Committee, we voted unanimously to accept this, and I move 4-4 for vote.
All right, do I have a second?
Second.
Any further discussion?
Tracy, the $8 million left in contingency, do you anticipate needing any of that, or you just don't know at this point in time?
At this point, I always anticipate using the full budget.
Sound like
good answer.
Yeah.
Not giving anything back yet.
I mean, is there anything out there that's got you, you know, sleepless nights worrying about it? Anything that we don't really know about yet?
The steel is still going in. That's always a concern.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you've had a few issues with that.
Sure.
Okay.
It is, though, I appreciate the commissioner's support and Tracy's leadership and the whole team, but it is pretty neat to get to the biggest part of it, and we're still $7.5 million, a couple of it under budget. So let's just hope we don't run into anything unexpected. You know, it's 3 years plus into this, and we're under budget and on schedule or a little bit ahead, let's say. And we take great pride in bringing this forward to the commissioners.
Well, the IAF was 30-40% of the overall project, and it was always that last big item that when I first got on the commission, we hadn't even gotten a GMP 1.
Right.
And now here we are, and so it is great. It's a great position to be in to still have contingency left and have everything under contract.
Yeah, absolutely.
Are either discussion? We've got motion of second, so let's call it to vote.
Chair Harwell?
Approve.
Vice Chair Farnsworth?
Approve.
Secretary Freeman?
Approve.
Commissioner Doors? Commissioner Joslin?
Approve.
Commissioner Smith?
Approve.
Commissioner Sullivan?
Approve.
Commissioner Granberry?
Approve.
Commissioner Crumbo?
Approve.
Commissioner Stevenson?
Approve.
Thank you.
Hey, Tracy, can I have one more quick question? I know during the pandemic it allowed us to do a lot of work a lot faster than we might have been able to do with 19 million passengers mm-hmm. coming through the airport. Has that bought us any time to the end date?
Yes, but you're going to see portions of the project open earlier than September of 2023.
Yes,
and we're working on that. Doug's going to see a preview of that tomorrow, actually.
So I'm ahead of the schedule.
The IEF will not open until September of 23, but you'll see other portions are open ahead of that.
I told you, Doug, and I'm asking the question. That's good, though. I mean, that is one silver lining. I mean, I know y'all were able to do a lot of the terrazzo floors that would,
That's about 3 years ahead of schedule right there.
It is.
But which will save a lot on cleaning.
Yeah, we hope. Knock on wood.
Yeah. You should.
Keep it going. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tracy. Okay, next up is Gail LaRoche, our Vice President of Administration. And Gail has, when she came onto the team, was given lots of cool challenges to update documents, and this is a big success story, so I'll turn it over to Gail for the PMP.
All right, good afternoon, Commissioners. We have the Personnel Management Plan, or PMP, up for your approval today. The PMP was first adopted by the Board of Commissioners on October 5th of 1984, so it's been in place a long time. Over the years, the PMP has been amended several times and was last updated on August 17th, 2016, and signed by then Board Chair Joslin. As it's been over 4 years since that document had been updated, we determined that a review and an update of the PMP was appropriate at this time. Things change as we go along. The document was reviewed by our outside counsel, Keith Frazier of Ogletree Deacons Law Firm, and our in-house counsel, Carrie Logan, as well as the HR team. Updates include the recent Supreme Court's ruling adding sexual orientation and gender identity as EEO-protected categories. We updated the Americans with Disabilities Act to track more closely with the language that's actually used in the Act. And we also modified the unacceptable conduct section to address the unauthorized carrying or possession of firearms on campus. And we made a referral to the Tennessee Guns and Trunk Law. We also removed the process of our president and CEO's involvement in some of the daily administration of the PMP, things like probationary period decision making, temporary work assignments. These are things that are best left to the manager and supervisor level. The probationary period section was modified to specifically include the review of all employee terminations, both probationary and non-probationary, by human resources and legal counsel. And so the last significant change is in the due process section, and that's how the employee termination post-deprivation process is managed. This is the process that takes place after the employee has appealed the decision that was made in the pre-deprivation procedure, and the employee does not agree with that decision, and so they have some appeal rights. The former post-deprivation language process had the second step with the appeal being conducted by either the board or by an administrative law judge, and so there was a choice there. We removed the board's involvement in that process and replaced it with the administrative law judge. This was done to protect the board from involvement in operational activities, as well as to provide an objective third party to the process. In these instances, legal counsel will be responsible for the management of the process and distribution of that report that issues from the ALJ and such portions of the record that the members of the board want to review. And with that, that concludes my presentation. Are there any questions?
I know, but I, and Cindy, are you on? Do you have any questions or comments? I know.
I don't.
Give me a put you on the spot.
That's fine. Keith Frazier at Ogletree, he worked with the MIA team on this, and I think they did a thorough review, and now we get an updated plan.
Great. Yes, and Christy, is she on? Christy, this is before you.
Yes.
Okay, good. We don't have the windows with everybody. I thought you were. This is before your committee.
Yes, that's true. Our committee met and reviewed the actual plan with our representative from Ogletree, our attorney, and received full recommendation our committee to move forth to the full board.
Okay, I think that is a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Are there any discussion? Let's call it to vote.
Chair Harwell.
I approve.
Vice Chair Farnsworth.
I approve.
Secretary Freeman.
Approve.
Commissioner Dorsch.
Approve.
Commissioner Joslin.
Approve.
Commissioner Smith.
I approve.
Commissioner Sullivan.
Approve.
Commissioner Granberry.
Approved.
Commissioner Crumbo.
Approve.
Commissioner Stevenson.
Approve.
All right. The motion carries.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Next item up for approval of position has been vacant for 1 year, 9 months, and I would like to thank board counsel for her help backing me up during that time period. I did have one unsuccessful search where I didn't, you know, find a candidate that I felt strongly enough that I could recommend to the board. That led me into a little bit of a delay, and then a second search with the law firm, or Latitude Legal, helping me search specifically for attorneys. They brought in a lot of great candidates, and we narrowed it down to several finalists, multiple interviews, and on the final interviews, those were at least two interviews with each of those final candidates. Mr. Bedrock stands out based on 30 years of experience, 15 of that being with a business. So he has the business experience we want. The other 15 years was half with a legal firm and half with a public utility, so he understands boards and commissions as well. He has a strong work ethic. I have a lot of trust in him already. He has participated in a retreat with the CFO and the COO, and he was interviewed by members of the management committee, the chairman, Commissioner Stevenson, and board counsel. My presentation to the full board, and I'll turn it over to the chairman as the head of the management committee.
Great, and I know that Doug and his team spent a lot of time along with Latitude and our general counsel in this search. And one thing that I think is worth adding is that, and Doug alluded to this, was that Mr. Bedrock has 15 years of commercial transactions with top 100 airports in the U.S. So it's specific to airports. Commissioner Stevenson and Doug and Cindy and I got to spend quite a bit of time with him via Zoom call, and then before and then after that, Mr. Bedrock spent some time here at the airport and quite a bit of time with the management team. And one of the great things is that spending time here, he's a team player, and I believe will make a good fit, which is very important to this team that Doug has put together. So this matter was before the management committee last week, and I approve the recommendation and make that as a motion. So with that, do I have a second?
Second.
All right, any further discussion? All right, with that, let's call it to vote.
Chair Harwell?
I approve.
Vice Chair Farnsworth?
I approve.
Secretary Freeman?
Approve.
Commissioner Dorsch?
Approve.
Commissioner Joslin?
Approve.
Commissioner Smith?
I approve.
Commissioner Sullivan?
Approve.
Commissioner Granberry?
Approve.
Commissioner Crumbo?
Approve.
And Commissioner Stevenson?
Approve.
Sorry, the motion carries.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners, for that support. Just a couple of informational items to run through that we discussed in committee, but I just want to make sure the entire board sees it. These are the items that I'll run through real brief. We were really close to locking in a deal on a 10-acre development on DNA, basically a high-end automobile dealership out of Germany was planning to execute this lease, and then when it got to their parent, they decided they didn't want to lease the property, they wanted to buy it, and so they withdrew from that. We do have other interests in this 10-acre parcel, and so we're going to continue marketing that as we move forward. In addition to the PMP that Gail's team has been working on for a few months now, we have also been working on our HR policy manual that was almost 10 years out of date. That now has been updated and current, and it basically links in with that PMP that the commissioners just approved. So we will be issuing that to all employees as we move forward in later in the April time period. And then we had a very detailed presentation on our affirmative action plans. We had outside counsel review that, also from Ogletree and Deacons, and they made a presentation to the Diversity and Workforce Committee, and there's actually three affirmative action plans, one for minorities and females, one for veterans, and one for individuals with disabilities. All of the presentations that were analyzed, the statistical analysis showed that we are doing a very good job with minorities and female compensation. compensation, there's no disparity in terms of employment, no findings. There may be a trend with hiring males in the professional group, and I'll show you that on the next slide. But on terminations as well as no findings, we have had some minorities retire recently, and that's what that comment means on voluntary departures. Veterans, we exceeded our goal there, and I think all organizations have trouble keeping up with individuals with disabilities. So we didn't meet that goal, but that'll be something that Gail and the team continues to try to bring people on with disabilities onto our workforce. So I'm really proud of the results that Gail and her team have done, and I think we'll only get better as we move forward. In terms of our workforce diversity, this has been a long, this has been a board emphasis item since Chairman Joslin, Chairman Samuels, and Chairman Harwell as we move forward. So the top scale you look, you can see that we've dipped a little bit in the hiring of males, but that has been purposeful with hiring females there to more match the MSA workforce as we go. And so the same way on hiring of whites or blacks, African Americans, that has started to tick up as well as those of other races. So we're doing that intentionally to try to make sure that the Airport Authority matches the community that we serve. And then we're really, really proud on the results of how are we distributing the work and contracts out here in terms of SMWBE participation. And over on the blue side of this slide, you can see we, previous to the BNA vision, we did 46.8 million over a 5-year period. And over the last 5 years up to today, we have spent 231 million over the same fiscal, 5-year window. And so it's only going to get better. That 231 million is going to go north of 300 million over the next 2 or 3 years as we continue the BNA vision. So we're really proud of that. In terms of the disparity study, this has been a long haul for us to get to this point. We gave the Diversity and Workforce Committee an overview of where we're at. I highlighted where we're headed. We want to bring this back to the Diversity and Workforce Committee in the May time period as a final document, and we'll review the results and recommendations at that point. And as part of that, then we will be out in the community talking about how we have done and what we're working on to get better as we go forward. So May is a big time period for us to come back to the Diversity and Workforce Committee, and then we'll be out and talking to the local community about our efforts and how we'll work to continue moving forward. And then lastly, in the Management Committee, we've had several discussions on severance and compensation. On the severance side of the house, the Management Committee recommended that I draft up a policy for your review in the month of April on references severances. And then on the compensation, we've studied that with Korn Ferry for a while, and that information is over at the Management Committee, and when it's appropriate, Management Committee will take action on the compensation side of the house. So those are the informational updates that sort of give you the big picture of where we're at and what we've been working on. And I would be happy to answer any questions on where we're going in the future if any commissioners have questions.
All right, well, thank you. Any other items for business today? All right, with that, this meeting is now adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right.